everyone. This is Tala with Drive Through Therapy. Thank you guys so much for joining me tonight on another episode. And as always, I'm grateful for your support. Oh man, today is inspired, as many of my topics are, by my work that I do in my practice. And what I've been wanting to do with people, generally my goal, is to have them go just beyond talking about problems, but actually starting to do things about them. A lot of the times, by the time I get a client, they've already seen a few therapists and they're kind of used to certain ways that a therapist might provide their treatment. But usually by the time they get to me, it's kind of a shock at times because it's about work. I make sure that we know that this time is not just for venting, but when you are meeting with me, we are going to really care about your thoughts, your feelings, and we're going to do the work to make sure that you get into harmony or alignment. When we are in harmony, we are in agreement on the inside with ourselves. Gandhi describes it the best. He says that happiness is when you, what you think, what you say, and what you do are in harmony. They all match one another. I love that description. I love that description. And today we're going to go into detail how to make this happen action-wise. Because a lot of the trouble that we're seeing is disharmony on the inside. We are in conflict with ourselves on the inside. So I think the best way to start is by telling you kind of an example of what disharmony looks like when we are not in harmony with ourselves. So two thoughts can conflict with one another within ourselves, within the same human being. And when those two thoughts are conflicting with one another, then my actions are almost confusing. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I even ask myself, why did I just do that? And that's when you notice the disharmony start to show up. I'm not doing the things I believe or the things that I want to do consciously. I'm not doing them. My subconscious is doing some other thing. So our inner harmony is such an important thing for our quality of life today. It impacts everything. You know, when I am in disharmony, it can promote stress. And with stress, there's a production of cortisol, which eventually impact your body in negative ways. And I see that loud and clear in the practice. People that have much more stress on the inside will develop these different types of disorders or medical conditions that deteriorate them slowly and sometimes quickly. So it is an important life and death thing. I want you to think about inner harmony as a life and death issue. When you get to that place of desperation, a lot of times we're going to change. So I want you to get there. I want you to say, you know what? I'm tired of living in this disharmony, in this conflict, in this stress on the inside. And I just will do everything it takes to get harmonious on the inside. And that's why this episode is so important. If you want to get your inner harmony set up, you got to work with me today. You're really going to like this episode for that. So let's give you an example of what disharmony looks like. I'm going to give you a couple of them because it just kind of shows up in different ways. But let's say I am in a relationship where I really love this person, but I'm having a hard time committing. I'm just not committing, but I'm saying I want to grow old with this person. I want to marry them, have a relationship, but I am not committed to them. I'm not actually showing up for them when they need it. I'm not paying my half of the rent and the bills. I'm just like not showing them in actions that I want to be with them, but I love them, right? So what ends up happening is that the person may eventually, hopefully, get sick of me. They may leave, which is a good thing. They may leave and say, you know what? I want somebody who's committed. Now I'm left crying about this and saying, well, I want to be committed, but I'm But my feelings are, I'm afraid, for example, of being committed. But I do love this person and I want to be with them and I want a life with them, but I'm not committed. Look, there goes the conflict. So this is an actual example recently that I had, which I think is a great example. This person really, really loved their partner and they wanted to make this work. But at the same time, their actions are, they're indecisive. They lack commitment. They don't receive affection well. And so it ended up being tricky for them to, because their actions did not match what they consciously wanted, which is to make the relationship work. So again, they were not in harmony because eventually the relationship did not work and it wasn't sustainable because needs were not being met. Understandable. So that's why this will result in heartbreak, because I'm not tending on the inside to what needs to be looked at. I'm not looking at my conflict. When I ask this individual, what are they waiting for? Or what do they perceive as the barrier for them committing? And they said, well, every once in a while, I get those feelings where I want to be free and I don't think this is for me, or something to that effect. And I made a clarification by asking them. So basically, it's just a feeling that comes in that fights with your need for commitment. And they're like, yeah, that's it. And I said, okay, so you're making your actions correspond with those feelings rather than what you consciously want. And basically, yeah, that is the case. So we all do that. We all do that. For example, if you want to do really well at your job and move up upwards and get promotions and make more money, but you don't feel like going to work today, or you fluctuate up and down with your feelings because sometimes I don't feel like going to work, or I had a bad day, or I had a hangover and I'm not going to go to work the next day, then you're not actually supporting with your actions what you believe about what you want for your future, which is promotion, employment, status, whatever the case is here. So we want to make sure that your actions are corresponding with what you consciously want. So going back to that example about the patient that said that they want a life with their partner, but they're having difficulty committing, then they have to choose. Is their freedom, whatever they perceive as freedom to, or non-commitment, is it what they truly want? Or is their life partner what they truly want? And you really have to be honest with yourself. I don't care about your guilt being involved in there. And if it is involved in this decision making, please make sure that you put that thing on hold. Pull the reins back, because guilt does not belong here. Honesty does. Honesty does. And when we're making decisions based on guilt, they're not necessarily honest. And I want to make sure everybody knows that. It's not necessarily your highest good. It's not God talking to us saying, like, you should be making decisions based on guilt. None of that is true. Guilt is just trained as any other emotion within us to work in a certain way. And many of us prioritize guilt in our decision making. So when you're choosing what you actually consciously want to achieve, then you have to line up with it, with your actions. I don't care how you feel. I'm not that kind of therapist. I just really want you to, with the feeling, right, know consciously this is what you want. Because sometimes our feelings, actually a lot of times, our feelings may betray us, may not be accurate in helping us decide what needs to happen. So we don't want to be chasing full-blown emotions and using them as rationalization for actions. We want to make sure that we're consciously reflecting on what we honestly want, whether it's healthy for us, but truly what we want, honestly what we want, without the guilt and without the shame. So for example, if this person wanted to be free, then guess what? They're going to have to be honest with their partner and say, I want to be free. And I love you, but I think this is a priority for me right now. So even if it hurts, even if the if I know this will hurt the person, the highest good for all is to be honest with myself. So I'm not saying to this person, I want to be with you, I want to be committed to you, I want a life with you, but yet my actions do not correspond with what I'm saying and what I'm saying I believe I want. This creates disharmony within. And when we have disharmony within, then all the problems starts to happen. This is what you know as anxiety, depression. Basically, those are thought patterns that are in conflict with one another, conflict within yourself. It is not actually based on circumstances outside of you. It is how you might interpret your world. So in a very traditional perspective here in the States, regarding thoughts and actions, if I was to look at the basis of faith that we support here and mostly apply in the States, it would be more this view that thoughts can be evil. And if my thoughts or feelings are evil, then I am evil. I have an evil like nature, which is tricky because then I will perceive myself at the core as a bad person, as a bad apple. And my actions, unfortunately, will be based on the feeling or the thought that comes in. So I'm often thinking that because on the inside I have nasty negative thoughts, then I'm a bad apple, and that my actions based on those thoughts are, they have to happen. There's almost a compulsion that's trained in us that if we think or we feel a certain way about something, it must be the truth. It must be that really is what I'm thinking. And we sometimes mistake that with intuition. But in reality, we really mess that one up, because intuition is a small, very, very low nudge within us on the inside. And to get to intuition, you really have to know what your nature is with fear, with your baggage, basically. You've gone through sifting it. You have to know a lot about yourself in order for you to decipher between what is your intuition, what is fear. What is your intuition, what is an anxious thought or depression? What is your intuition and what is, you know, you have to be able to discern. And this takes a lot of practice. That's why when people say, oh, I think it's my intuition talking, I don't know. I don't know. If you're really loud on the inside, more than likely your intuition is not the thing that you hear right away. So we have to actually sit still in it and hear it. In the States, I realized that part of our programming that comes out naturally is that, you know, we have to have the right thought. We have to think positive. And unfortunately, it doesn't correspond with things that are happening to human beings, which are, I could have a really nasty thought about a situation, even about a person. Like, it's not a great thought, right? But I am not the thought. I'm not the thought. The most important thing here becomes the action. Now, in the Eastern world and Eastern philosophy in regards to karma, or in this case, specifically Buddhism, the person that is thinking and feeling is the same as the action. So basically, you know this as karma, and karma basically means action. Action causes certain effects to occur. That's why karma is really important in the philosophy of Buddhism. You're not necessarily your thoughts, but you are going to get consequences based on actions. And that makes sense to me, right? In the end, I can have any thought I want, but what will I actually do, right? I don't go to prison for thinking about murder. I go to prison for actually committing it or attempting to do so, right? So you're not your thoughts. You're not your thoughts. They do not need to run your world. Also feelings. We are not the feelings, which correspond usually chemically with the thoughts. You're not those sensations. You are the action that you portray. What people will end up seeing anyways are the actions you portray. So it's important to keep in mind the karmic kind of philosophy, because I think it gives us a really nice clue here that our nature is not necessarily evil. We are not a representation of our thoughts and feelings. We can be, however, a representation of our highest self. Our highest self that speaks through our actions, through our karmic response. There's a cause and effect in karma. When I produce an action, I'm going to get it back. Keeping that in mind, it's all about the action. going back to those examples of how do I get into alignment, right? You really have to think consciously what you want. And sometimes it may not be something that you would want to admit. So for example, in the case of the person that says, I want to be with my partner for life, they may have to investigate truly and with honesty if they want their freedom and they don't want to be in a relationship. Although they can love this person, they don't want to be in a relationship. And if they just admit this harsh truth and then start to produce actions based on their truth, if you will, then everything gets into alignment with that person. So they're no longer trying to not hurt another person, which is another way to say that is like, I'm trying to control their feelings, right? So I'm going to just keep stringing them along, telling them that I want to be with them, but my actions don't match that. So it just strings them along. Or I could do the right thing and say, you know what? I love you. I care about you, but I cannot commit. It's not within me to do so. And that's the right thing to do. Although it doesn't feel like it, it may definitely be. I hope this makes sense because, oh boy, oh boy. Do we sometimes in our Western society really promote the idea of judging our feelings harshly or judging our thoughts harshly? And we think that that we are our thought, that our identity is our thoughts. And so we are imprisoned by them, that if I have this thought and I have this feeling, that I'm just stuck with it. And it must be the truth. And it must be intuition. Absolutely not. The most important thing here that we can learn from the karma world is that you are in a lot of ways the action that you take based on whatever that's happening, right, on the inside of you. So I can want commitment, and I admit I want commitment, and I want to work on this. So action-wise, I'm going to have to change my ways. I may not get involved in infidelities, and I maybe have to promote communication honesty with my partner, things like that. I have to do the hard things. I got to do the hard things, which say no to the temptation that I might have at work if I meet somebody that I'm attracted to. You know, I got to admit at that point I'm committed, and I got to follow through. So I got to do the hard stuff. If I want to go to college and I want to get a degree and that's really what I want to do, then I got to do the hard stuff. I got to work to make it to class, do the assignments on time, make sure that even if things are happening in my life, I don't just give up and quit. I hunker down and I get grounded and I do the work that I need to do to pass those classes. Because life is always going to happen. I can't use it as an excuse to interrupt my college work that I'm doing or whatever the case is. Now, let's say you don't want to go to college, then you're going to have to admit that. And that's okay to admit it and say, you know what? That's not for me. I don't want to go the 4-year university route, and I want to do something else. And I am passionate about this instead. And having to admit those harsh truths and then follow action corresponding with that, that's how we're going to get inner harmony and happiness. When we do what we actually believe consciously, right? Then we are the happiest. Then we are the happiest. That goes along too with, let's say I want to be generous or kind or satisfied, sit in a state of satisfaction. I got to line up my actions to do so, meaning that I don't call up my friends and include them on how bad my job is and talk about people at my job, because that's an action that unfortunately my friends aren't going to agree with me, and they're just going to enforce or solidify that reality within me. And then I'm just really going to anchor down in that reality. And so I'm not supporting contentment, satisfaction, happiness at this point. My actions are delivering the opposite of what I actually want, which is peace, inner harmony. So I'm not going to call and talk about the problems over and over and over and include other people in them, which causes like this really interesting karmic response that works against me. I want to make sure that everything that I do, as much as I can and as much as I'm aware of, is in alignment of what I actually want for my highest good. Such an important episode for all of us humans. Such an important episode. And it
should provide you a lot of relief that you are not necessarily your thoughts and your feelings. They can come in, they can roam around, but what we do with them in the end, that's important. At this point, people often tell me, Tala, I feel like I'm being fake. I even had one patient tell me that, and she's very smart, very wonderful, good-hearted individual. And she's working on her anger and her temper, and I can relate, been there. She said, Tala, I had this experience where I withheld my anger or angry response. Although I was feeling it, I didn't actually react on it. And I wanted to tell this person off, but I didn't tell this person off. I wanted to go off on them and cuss them out and like, how dare you, and defend and protect. And I just didn't do it. And I felt, this is what she said, I felt fake about it. And then I asked her and I said, why would the feeling of your anger be considered real, but withholding from your anger not be real to you, right? And what does real actually mean? Like, what is real or fake actually mean? Because in the end, people are not going to respond to you based on what you consciously want for your highest good, because they don't know what that is, unless you act on it. Unless you act on it. So if you want to be perceived as a level-headed person, a person that's wise, a person that's responsible, that's accountable, then on the situations that promote this anger within you, you're going to have to discipline yourself. This is not fake you. It's still you, but it is you that is not representing itself wrongfully. It is you dealing with anger in a healthy way. It is still you. It is still you. But just because I'm just so used to compulsively reacting on the anger, yelling, screaming, telling people off, it does not mean that that's really who I am. However, I've been practicing it for so long. And again, this is the going back to that perception I told you about that we have in here in the Western world, that if I think it and I feel it and I react on it, that means I'm real. But when I have to withhold my reaction, I'm being fake. And that ain't real. That ain't real. If I'm withholding my action, it is for the highest good of all. In a lot of cases where if I did do this action, it would betray me and it betray the other person and betray what I want to represent about myself. So if I want to be seen as responsible, if I want to be seen as level-headed, not a hothead, then I'm going to have to do those very hard things to represent myself in those moments that ask me to do so. In those moments where somebody pisses me off, where my spouse is misunderstanding me or they're doing something that ticks me off. I'm going to, in that moment with my spouse, for example, I'm going to have to do the right thing. That is the healthy response, which isn't fake. It's a healthy response. I want you guys to think of that. It's a healthy response towards that person rather than being fake. I can still convey disappointment, anger in a healthy way rather than keep responding and representing or misrepresenting myself in an unhealthy way over and over and over again by yelling and screaming. And then all I'm going to get back is just that. People are going to see me based on my actions, not on my good intentions. Okay? Just know that I'm misrepresenting my good intentions. And my good intentions is to deal with my anger in a healthy way, to communicate my wants and needs, to communicate boundaries, for example. So I want to make sure I convey that to the other person in a healthy way and represent that well. This is a tricky situation because in a lot of ways, we've been used to compulsively responding and having to now really care about the actions we take, really think about them, really think about what I'm about to do in this moment requires quite a bit of pause before you do stuff. Quite a bit of pause. Tala, this sounds hard. This sounds redundant. Probably. But this is the thing. What else do we got? All we got is time. Let's work on it. Let's work on it. I would rather you get better and better every day with more representation of your good intentions. So people can see that, hey, this person has really good intentions, but they can't see that you're good on the inside when your actions on the outside are representing you or misrepresenting you at this point. Okay? So we want to make sure we get into alignment. And that is how we eventually get the inner harmony. I'm peaceful with myself because what I think and what I believe, I actually do for the highest good. So just because I feel anger and I think I want to kill this person. I really know deep down inside, I'm not going to kill this person. I don't want to hurt another human being. So that's really what I'm going to represent, is my action of not hurting or killing this person. I hope this makes sense, because, whoa, it's just going to upgrade your quality of life. And I want that for you. I really do. I want that for me. So I want that for the people that I love. But work has to get done. And we have to go just beyond the idea of I am my feelings and I am my thoughts, and getting into alignment with just impulsive thoughts and feelings that come and go, and I'm about to make a decision based on them. And that's not good. That's not good. We got to start putting in the pause, thinking about what I'm about to do and how I'm about to respond, and that it does matter. Think of karma. What I put out, I'm going to get back. So please make sure that what you put out is as thoughtful, as well thought out as you can make it. Please do. Please do. Because it does matter. It does matter. So I want to make sure everybody today changes their perception about themselves. If they think that they are truly an evil person, evil natured, they're not to be trusted, then their actions are going to correspond with that subconsciously. But if I try to get into alignment and I'm working on me being a human being that can have a variety of different thoughts and feelings as humans do, and they range, friends, they range. And remembering I am not my thoughts in the end, I am actually the action I'm going to take and I'm going to represent myself with. If we live this way, I think on the inside, we're just going to be set free. That I'm to be trusted, and I'm no longer now attempting to convince or argue with other people to see something different about me. I'm not telling them, hey, I'm responsible, or arguing with them. My actions will show that. I'm not telling them, hey, I want to be committed to you. My actions are showing it to you. I'm not saying to my boss that I'm going to do better. I'm going to be better at my job. One day I'm going to show up and I'm actually doing it. That's what people in the end gonna see. That's how you're really gonna represent yourself. And the karmic response you're gonna get is based off of that. You're gonna get that right back at you. So with my partner or with my spouse, I'm not gonna tell them, I'm gonna communicate better. I'm gonna do better. And I'm trying to convince them and fight with them. And I'm trying to be right in those moments. I'm not trying to do that anymore. All we're doing is like, now I'm gonna be about it. I'm not just gonna talk about it. I'm gonna be about it. So I'm gonna withhold and intentionally respond in a healthy way, even when I'm angry, especially when I'm angry, especially when I want my needs to be met or fear creeps up. I'm going to definitely act in alignment in those situations. All right. I hope this was useful for you. It's one of those that you just listen to as many times as you want. That's what these episodes are built for, because I will walk your mind through it. And although it is repetitive at times, please know this is for your highest good. Your brain loves it, even though you might not consciously. Your brain will love the repetition, because that's how we learn. Thank you guys so much for joining me tonight. I am sending you love and light. And like Gandhi once said, peace is not the absence of conflict, but the ability to cope with it. This has been an episode of Drive Through.